Yeah, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ralf Dieter speaking. My colleague, Ralf Heuwing, and I welcome you to Dürr's conference call on our first half 2014 results. As always, we will start by giving you an overview of our results and our financial figures in more detail. Afterwards, we will talk about our divisions, share our view of the markets, and provide some further information on the HOMAG acquisition. Let me first briefly summarize the first half highlights. Order intake gained substantial momentum in the second quarter, rising to more than 700 million in the quarter. Sales revenues fell short of the previous year due to customer-induced project delays. The EBIT margin was strong. Contributing factors were the turnaround in our cleaning activities and the acceleration in our service business. We are leaving our positive outlook for 2014 unchanged, but we can be a bit more precise today. Incoming orders and earnings should come in at the upper end of the guidance range and sales revenues at the lower end. We move to page three on the presentation. It shows that the group sales came to 1.6 billion in the first half, a decline of 6% year-over-year. This was caused by project delays, mainly civil constructions in the responsibility of our customers. We expect sales to accelerate over the coming quarters. Q2 order intake improved substantially over the previous year, with both paint system business and mechanical engineering activities picking up. Orders in the first half exceeded sales by 20%, which resulted in a 200 million increase in order backlog compared to the year end of 2013. This will ensure a good capacity utilization well into 2015. On the next page, you see that order intake from the emerging markets reached the previous year's level of 734 million. While new orders were lower in China, Brazil, and Russia, they rose significantly in the rest of Eastern Europe. At 58%, as always, the emerging markets accounted for a large proportion of the group's total orders again. In North America, order intake did not reach the previous year's high volume. On the other hand, orders rose by a substantial 55% in Germany, where we were awarded a large modification contract. Let me point out that the decline in China orders is temporary. We see substantial new orders for Q3 and Q4 and expect the share of China orders to reach 30% again for the full year 2014. Let's turn to page five. Gross margin continued to widen and at 22% in the first half, exceeded last year's 18.8% substantially. Major factors driving this growth were moderate cost development, good order execution, and the growing contribution to earnings made by our service business. In addition, EBIT at cleaning and surface processing turned the corner following last year's restructuring efforts. The group's EBIT margin increased in the first half from 7.3% to 8.4%, thus already reaching the upper end of our target corridor of 8% to 8.5%. Driven by further improvement in financial results and a tax rate of 27.7%, earnings after tax rose by 10% in the first half. In Q2, the EBIT margin stood at 8.6%, while EBIT in absolute terms was down by 3% year-over-year due to the sales decline. My colleague, Ralf Heuwing, will now take you through our financials and cash flow statements. Ralf?
Yeah, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page six. Operating cash flow doubled to 24 million euros in the first half compared to last year's figure. This was due to higher incoming earnings, while net working capital increased as expected versus the end of 2013. Looking ahead over the rest of 2014, we expect net working capital to widen slightly. In the first half of this year, operating cash flow included the effects of further external funding of pension provisions to the tune of 14 million euros. This will be reflected in lower pension provisions as well as ongoing lower expenses in the future. Free cash flow was also positive at a moderate 5 million euros in the first half. Our net financial status declined to 227 million euros from 281 million at the end of 2013, mostly due to the dividend payment of more than 50 million euros. Page seven shows that net working capital at the end of the first half stood at minus 5 million euros compared to the 153 million a year before. Accordingly, days working capital declined from 24 days in the first half last year to minus one day in the first half this year. As you know, on a normalized basis, that means excluding prepayment swings, we consider days working capital of 20 to 25 days to be an adequate and high-performance level. However, we see only a limited rise in net working capital during the second half of this year due to ongoing high prepayments in the project business. Let's turn to page eight. The overview of our work in process and progress billing shows that the payment balance with our customers has been stable compared to year-end 2013 and declined by 67 million versus the end of March 2014. Customer prepayments reported as liabilities remained at a high 564 million euros. There will be future receivables from contracts set against these liabilities on the asset side. The balance of future receivables from contracts and customer prepayments was minus 197 million euros at mid-2014. This amount, which represents net customer refinancing, will generate future cash outflows, increase net working capital, and reduce cash and cash equivalents. We estimate that our business model allows a normalized figure of between minus 50 million and minus 100 million euros. On the basis of our calculations and contract conditions, we do not expect a cash outflow before 2015. All of this, obviously, before any impact from a potential early redemption of our 2010 bond and from the HOMAG acquisition. Moving to page nine. Driven by our high earnings, equity rose by 76 million euros or 17% to 514 million euros compared to the end of the first half of 2013. The equity ratio reached a healthy 23% at the end of June this year, a decrease of 0.8 percentage points year-over-year. The main reason for the small decline was the 300 million bond issue in spring 2014, which temporarily increased the balance sheet by 21% to 2.2 billion. Our net financial status improved by 184 million euros to plus 227 million over the last 12 months. Cash and cash equivalents, including time deposits and other financial assets, amounted to 789 million euros compared to 547 at the end of the year 2013. ROCE reached 49% in the first half this year, which underlines the strength of our asset-light structure. I will now hand back to Hans-Dieter, who will highlight the performance of our divisions, provide you with some information on the HOMAG acquisition, and summarize our outlook.
Thank you, Ralf. And let's move on to page 10. Paint and Assembly Systems registered order intake of 609 million euro in the first half. And this performance was driven by a strong second quarter in which orders rose by 18% to 355 million. Major projects were awarded in China, Mexico, Brazil, Poland, and Germany in the first half. Paint and Assembly Systems expects continued stable demand for the second half of the year. Sales dropped by 15% due to the delays in some larger projects in civil construction work, not in our responsibility, as already mentioned. Book-to-bill came in at 1.3, so the order book increased again. We expect sales to pick up as the year progresses. Despite the lower sales, EBIT margin increased to 8.3%, up from 7.8% in the previous year. Aircraft activities also contributed profits in the first half of 2014. The next page shows that the trend in application technology was similar to paint and final assembly. The new orders were up 19% in the second quarter, after falling short by 26% in the first quarter. As further major orders are
expected for the forthcoming by the end of the year, we are still confident that the full year order intake in this division will reach the previous year's level in 2014. Major contracts for the delivery of paint robots and application technology have been received also from China, United States, Poland, and Germany in the year so far. Application technology closed the first half of the year with a small 2% drop in sales revenues, with book-to-bill ratio coming to 1.2. Order backlog was up at 26 million. EBIT was marginally down on the previous year. The EBIT margin came to 10.5%. On page 12, you see that the order intake in the measuring and process systems division rose by 6% in the second quarter, resulting in a small increase for the first half as a whole. This growth was driven by balancing and assembly products, whereas orders for cleaning and surface processing declined due to the sale of filtration technology at the end of last year. While sales were more or less unchanged, EBIT increased by 57% due to the strong turnaround at cleaning and surface processing. The business unit benefited from its successful realignment. Cleaning and surface processing is now concentrating on profitable product business and has given up larger scale system integration business with its smaller margins. The EBIT margin in balancing and assembly products again reached a very good level. Page 13 shows the results for cleaning technology systems. Order intake and sales rose substantially over the first half of last year. The acquired company LTB, which was consolidated for the first time in July 2013, generated 9 million of sales and 12 million of order intake in the first half of 2014, making a positive contribution to earnings as well. At 1.2, Clean Technology Systems book-to-bill ratio was favorable, and EBIT improved by 77%, with the EBIT margin rising from 3.1 to 3.7%. Page number 14 shows that the service revenues grew by an encouraging 8%, coming to 258 million and accounting for 24% of consolidated revenues, up from 21% year over year. The service margin has stabilized at a satisfactory high level. We expect the positive trend in our service business to continue, thanks to the strong growth in our installed base over the last few years. In addition, the group-wide customer excellence at Dürr optimization program will support further growth. Let's turn now to page 15. The world automobile production and sales remained on an upward trend in the first half of this year, despite the temporary weakness in some emerging markets. China, the world's largest automotive market, again posted double-digit growth. Europe, including the new European countries, continued its recovery trend, which had started from a low level in the second half of 2013. The United States, car sales were back on track in the second quarter after the moderate Q1 caused by the strong winter. Brazil and Russia continue to look very weak, whereas there are signs of improvement in India. On page 16, you can see that PwC's market experts have published their latest forecast for the light vehicle market in July, as shown on this page. The figures are broadly in line with those published before. PwC expects production to reach 105 million units by 2018, which means an average annual growth rate of 5%. The countries with the highest annual growth rates, above 8% in each case, are China, India, Malaysia, and Indonesia, where we recently bought companies. This positive trend is also reflected in our sales pipeline. The volume of requests for quotations remains high. We especially expect a strong second half in China, but we are also discussing some interesting projects in other regions as well. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move now to page 17, and let's have a briefly turn to the HOMAG acquisition. At the Investors Day in May, we described our strategy, explaining that we wanted to broaden our mechanical engineering portfolio, in particular by means of acquisitions. Moreover, we set
out our acquisition criteria for potential target companies. In the light of these, HOMAG is an excellent fit. Although HOMAG operates in an industry which is new to us, namely wood processing, we are very familiar with non-automotive mechanical engineering. Accordingly, this is not really unknown territory for us. Like HOMAG, Schenck, for example, works with thousands of smaller customers and has sales alliances all around the world. There are also similarities in the value of the machinery, ranging from a few tens of thousands to several million EUR for integrated systems. Schenck's balancing technology is used wherever things rotate. That includes everything from dental drills to fans and from electrical drives to power station turbines. Duagoglin also has a similarly broad customer basis, supplying cleaning machinery to the watch industry, mechanical engineering, and contract manufacturers, for example. Likewise, our filling technology customers do not only come from the automotive industry, but also from the household appliances sector. Extensive measuring, adjustment, and checking processes are required at the end of the vehicle production line to guarantee vehicle comfort and safety, and we are offering these systems as well. Let's turn to page 18. You're already familiar with our claim leading in production efficiency and the underlying pillars of our strategy: innovation, globalization, efficiency, and service. We want to make use of our core strengths to transfer these capabilities to HOMAG. We are able to invest substantially more in research and development for mechanical engineering in particular, as most of our peers are substantially smaller than us. The customer is at the core of everything we do, and with our innovations, we are generating customer benefits and lower production costs. Our innovations help us to stand apart from competition. In mechanical engineering, we focus on standardized products with modular components to satisfy individual customer requirements at competitive cost levels. As in plant engineering, our mechanical engineering activities are focusing on expansion in the emerging markets. To this end, local production and also localized product design are very important. And as you know, we are increasingly producing standardized machinery in the emerging markets for these regions. However, we also export in the meantime these machineries to Western markets. Global sourcing gives us a decisive competitive edge, and the size plays a key role in this respect. We are known for our high-end systems, but increasingly also want to address the entire range down to the low end. Efficient processes are another core capability. We have uniform IT systems, standardized global processes, and tools which can be utilized through the entire group. Economies of scale are to be leveraged, such as at our Chinese plant in Shanghai Baoshan, where we have a combined assembly plant for all mechanical engineering units. And finally, expansion in the service business is of great importance. We have identified growth potential from a better coverage of our installed base. Now, mechanical engineering companies are also participating in the Customer Excellence at Dürr project. To sum it up, we are not becoming a conglomerate with unrelated activities. Although our mechanical engineering companies make different products and have different customers, they all pursue a uniform approach, allowing us to utilize economies of scale and our international footprint and leverage core capabilities across the group. On page 19, we have summarized the next steps in the HOMAG acquisition process. The takeover schedule is fully on track. We will be releasing the bidding documents latest by August 25. We will be filing for antitrust clearance during August. The transaction is expected to be closed in October 2014. At this stage, we will be consolidating the HOMAG Group. However, this should have only minor effects on our P&L statement in 2014. Finally, turn to page 20, ladies and gentlemen. Before inviting you to ask your questions, I would like to draw a short conclusion. The first half was fully in line with our expectations, and we have already achieved an EBIT margin of 8.4%. Order momentum improved in the second quarter, and we expect strong order intake in the second half to continue. Book-to-bill stood at 1.2 with a solid order book of just under 2.4 billion. And the automotive industry will continue to grow by a strong 5% annually. And we expect further growth in our service business, not least of all due to our service initiatives. And for 2014, we expect moderate growth in our order intake and earnings. Both are expected to reach the upper end of the respective guidance. Our financial position remains strong. Sales should catch up in the second half, so we should be able to reach around 2.4 billion euros, the lower end of our full year guidance. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention so far, and we are now happy to answer any questions you may have, and I hand over back to Frau Neis.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for your speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Ingo Schachel. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
So the first one would be regarding the revenue shortfall, and if you could give us an update on the project completion, say, as per today, end of July, or give us a bit more color how back-end loaded really the revenue catch-up should be. Have you seen improved completion on the side of sub-suppliers in the last weeks already, or so it's really something where you where it's rather based on hope that things improve towards the end of this quarter or beginning of next quarter? And if it is back-end loaded, could you also give us a better feeling for whether there's any risk regarding the utilization of your resources on the execution side, if you have to complete a lot of project steps on more projects than very back-end loaded this year? Is there a risk that you will not be able to execute it as smoothly as you've executed your projects in the past? The second question would be regarding your EBIT margin guidance. Obviously, it looks a bit conservative after you already had 8.4% in the first half. I guess what I'm trying to understand is whether whether or not it's conservative, but also to what extent the potential HOMAG consolidation effects have played a role in you not raising the guidance. I understand that HOMAG will not have a substantial impact on your financials this year, but I assume that you mean that it probably will not have a very positive EBIT impact. I guess there could be some impact on revenues, so it could be one of the reasons for you not upgrading the guidance that you think, HOMAG-related transaction costs or accounting effects relating to the transaction could dilute your margin a bit in the fourth quarter. Are there any other reasons that you see for not delivering a margin above 8.5% in the second half of this year?
Mr. Schachel, Ralf Dieter speaking. First of all, the revenue shortfall of 6% compared to last year, it will be, to our expectation, will be compensated in the further course of the next 6 months. I can't give you for every project now the status, but it's not so much on suppliers, it's more on buildings not ready to bring in the equipment, and therefore we can't produce it, and therefore we don't have percentage of completion. That's very simple. But you can expect that it's quite smoothly coming back to the level as we are giving as a guidance. So I would see it as a continuous improvement in the next two quarters. Utilization risk, we don't have. You meant execution risk, we also don't see, because we are working on a continuous base here, and the order intake, as you have seen, will continue in a way that we are able to do that. We would not take orders, we would not be able to execute properly. That's very clear. And the EBIT margin, the guidance you call conservative, we don't disagree, but we don't want to change our guidance by today.
And as far as consolidation of HOMAG is concerned, we haven't even published the offer document. We expect closing to happen in October, and depending on the exact timing of closing, we may or may not provide then further clarity on our guidance. The guidance that we have provided so far does not include HOMAG, and as said before, we don't expect a major impact in the year of 2014 on the P&L.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Ben Bayer. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Questions from my side as well. The first one being if you could give us a sense on the impact of the large order you received in Q2 on the cash in Q3 on the prepayments, what kind of number we should be penciling in roughly. The second question is just on the project delays. I guess in the recent years you always had your hands full in finishing the project. Everybody was very busy, but you still managed to do it in time. So what is different this time that is causing the impact on your P&L? And the last question is just talking about VW. They've obviously taken a bit of a tougher stance on improving their margins. Are you already seeing that in terms of new projects that pricing is becoming a bit tougher, or would you generally say that your pricing is relatively stable on a high level? Thank you.
Okay, to answer the question, I mean we are not normally disclosing here individual orders. That's clear, yeah. And but what we can say that was a larger order in Poland in particular, and this was how to describe that.
I would say, I mean, you're asking about the cash impact,
yeah.
And we said that. Maybe a bit contrary to what we said earlier this year, we do not expect a major difference in days working capital for the rest of the year and also in net working capital. So this implicitly means that the orders that we have recently taken have a very healthy prepayment situation.
Okay, thank you. The delays in the project, again, to explain, it's not that we can't execute on time. It's that customers have delays in the civil construction of the paint shop building. And we are basically depending when those buildings are ready to move in. So there's no issue on our side. You mentioned BMW, also other OEMs. VW, yeah, but it's also other OEMs talking about investments. And basically what they're doing, I think, which is a healthy process, which we are supporting, is to question whether all the features, all the, let's say, of an equipment has to be as it was in the past. And this is a process which we are working through. We don't see here price pressure. It's more a content question and not so much a price pressure. So we don't see changes here compared to 6 months ago, and that would confirm what you said.
Mm-hmm. And just to follow up on the project that you said that is a delay in the civil works, what is it delaying this year that you didn't have those issues in the recent years where obviously you were also already very busy and I guess the customers were very busy? Is that just coincidence or anything on behalf of the construction companies that they are generally more busy, or what do you refer that on?
I think there are some countries where buildings always have delays. If you take Brazil, for example, there's one project which has a delay of 1.5 years to get a feeling for that. And so also our customers are very busy because they have a lot of projects and only limited resources. I don't see any special issue here. But, you know, if a delay of 4 weeks means in two larger projects, 20, 30, 40, 50 million sales. Yeah.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from Jan Boris Rehns. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello, Jan Boris Rehns, SWR Fernsehen, Wirtschaftsredaktion. I have a question for Mr. Dieter on the group's headcount. I read that the employees' numbers climbed in Germany much faster than worldwide. I would like to know why. Is this a trend? Because in the past this has been the other way around. And I would be pleased if you could answer the question in German. That would be kind. Thank you.
No, I will not answer in German because this is a quarterly conference call in English. And,
no problem.
All right. So the increase of people in Germany is mainly due to the fact that we acquired the LTB company and first time to add those people into our headcount. Yeah. We also increased people in Germany to support our global activities. That's also clear.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
The next question comes from Riccardo Romati. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The first one is on paint and assembly order intake. And can you help us understand how is the order pipeline evolving and if the acceleration we have seen in Q2 is related to the anticipation of a large project or is a pure better underlying trend? The second one is just on the margin, and can we expect in the second half of the year an improvement as you year over year as you did in the first half? Thank you very much.
Okay, to your first question, for sure a large order in a quarter makes a difference, but this is always the case, and it was the same in the past. When we look, we had some quarters, as you remember, one with more than 800 million was in a quarter by a large project. This will always be in the future. That's why we always say quarters in order intake don't mean much in our business. Yeah, that's very important. Also, your question is whether there's an underlying trend. I always said, or the last time I said, and I reconfirm, we have a healthy project pipeline ahead of us for the next 6 months. So we see a steady trend of orders which we are able and we will be able to secure to have to show the order intake at the end of the guidance we gave. Okay?
Okay.
And EBIT margin improvements that you're asking, I think you can take it from our statements. We said, after a combined 8.4% for the first half, we are confirming the upper end of our margin guidance. So there's maybe some room for the second half. But as you know us, we stay rather on the safe side in our statements on this aspect.
Thank you very much. That's very clear.
Okay. Pleasure.
The next question comes from Richard Schramm. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions, if I may, one concerning the projects you mentioned in China to come up in the second half. Can you elaborate a bit on this? Are these domestic OEMs which will push up here investments, or are the projects more related to for some German transplants there? And second point concerning the measuring and process systems business, where we have seen here this pretty strong round in the first half, is the really impressive margin level here really sustainable, or have there been still some special effects included we should take into account here going forward for the full year? Thank you.
Okay, pleasure, Mr. Schramm. So for your last question, it's a sustainable improvement, and we will see that it will further improve to the year end to our plans in the MPS side. In China, there are no German transplants. There are always joint ventures with Chinese companies, and some of them have their own ones, and I can only say that projects we have on both sides. But all is, one is also clear, if you have a closer look at China, you see that the joint venture OEMs are the ones who are really successful and with double-digit growth rates, and from them the majority of the investments are coming for sure, but also from local ones which are successful. Okay.
So, as clarification, the likelihood that there will be no push-outs of projects is therefore very high, that you can rely on the project pipeline, or is there an increasing uncertainty in the market visible?
In China, is zero uncertainty in the market. And I don't know this from looking at the project pipeline, but I know it from talking to our customers. And they are even pushing decisions earlier.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
All right.
There are no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Oh, thank you very much. So first of all, I would like to thank everybody for his questions and the interest in our half-year results. The Q3 conference call will be taking place on November the 6th. But for today, Ralf and I will say now goodbye and wish you a pleasant afternoon, and thanks for joining. Bye-bye.